going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, I think, you know, we went into it, you know, thinking maybe that we would allocate some resources to that side of the football. You know, I think it's very cyclical. Some years we spend most of our picks on offense, some years more so on defense, some years we're balanced. You know, I think early on this year we did spend some picks on defense. I think we got some great football players at important positions. You know, guys that can make plays on the football, guys who can get to the quarterback. You know, I think that's great. And probably the one thing we couldn't do is get that big, wide body type guy. And I think, you know, that's something that we'll assess and address after the draft. And, you know, we're already starting to talk about that. So we're aware of that. But I think the guys we took can really impact the defense for sure, and we're excited about them.
That's Eric DaCosta speaking Saturday after a long day at the Castle. The press conference was about a little after 7 on Saturday, and the day started at noon. At least the draft started at noon, and Ravens draft, the NFL draft is over. Ravens, of course, made all their picks, though they did trade down a couple times, a couple of weird trade downs, but the draft Knicks are already grading these drafts, which is always fun. And, of course, the Ravens are getting good grades all around, Jason.
Seems like the whole league is.
Yes. Somebody made a comment, and I can't remember who it is, so I apologize. But they're like, it's hard. It's becoming harder to hate teams' drafts. Their comment was, for what it's worth, teams might be getting smarter. There aren't any awful drafts anymore. Did you see it that way?
Or it could just be that the people who pretend that they could do this stuff for a living and pretend that they're really truly evaluators, it's starting to look more like what they think it should look like.
Sure.
So it's just confirmation bias, or it could just be they're sick of getting ripped for giving people's D's and F's.
Yeah.
And so, nobody really knows anyway, so yes. Let's just give everybody A's and B's with the occasional C. I don't want to waste too much time on that. But either way, look, the weekend went about as we thought it would. I guess 6-4-1 draft picks, defense, offense, special teams.
Yes, we knew that.
So we thought there'd be seven defensive, especially if they didn't take a kicker, if they took a specialist. And really, it's kind of 6-3-2, right? Because it's a return guy and a kicker.
Yes.
Really 6-3-2, which
yeah, Wester's a return guy.
It's twice
guy.
As many defense as offense, which is essentially what we expected. And the offense is focused on the offensive line, which is exactly what we expected. Now, I do find it interesting the tone DaCosta takes about the D-tackle. Bro, there were more D-tackles than ever. And most of them were huge.
Yes.
I mean, Bobby D's like 60 years old. Bobby D's been scouting professionally or quasi-professionally since he was about 20 years old as an intern with Joe Gibbs and working at the Citadel. And all. Dude, he's never seen this many massive D-tackles in his life. So the fact that, like, you didn't take any is on you. They were there in every round, and there were huge ones, they took one who's undersized.
Yes, he's an undersized pass rusher, the Aeneas Peebles kid.
So, like, that part of it is a little odd because they're usually really good at drafting those guys, and they had a serious need. And, you know, it's not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination, but, like, the idea that, like, it just happened that way. No, you systematically had to avoid them.
Well,
and when they traded out of the fourth round, they were taking themselves out of a pretty good sweet spot.
Yes. I feel like they, like, I don't want to hate on what they did. And as you pointed out, we won't know for 2 years anyway what this looks like. But, like, a lot of the people like these two corners they took on day three. We'll see if they turn in anything. Yeah. But it is weird, and I'm sitting there on Saturday and thinking, okay, they're going to take at least one of these guys early on Saturday, like, or maybe they take a cup, two or three of these sixes and trade up to try to get a defensive tackle they targeted. But that was my takeaway sitting there, was like, where's the beef?
I do wonder, you know, if there wasn't that run on Friday, and like a Alfred Collins or a Sampson or somebody like that was sitting there, would they have taken them over Mike Green? We'll never know. They had to get a pass rusher. They got one. Now, what are they telling us about their overarching philosophies as an organization? If you just look at this moment in time, take Ray Rice and everything else out of it. Take zero tolerance out of it. Take just go back to from the day the banner story broke to the Ben Cleveland DUI to this. I think they're telling you what matters above all else in their estimation, right? It's any little advantage that we think is going to help us win a football game. We're willing to turn a blind eye to a whole lot of other stuff.
Well, what they're telling you is they're no different than anybody else. Like, they're like the Kansas City Chiefs don't worry about character. Team C.
But I think there's some teams that do. I don't know about everybody else. Kansas City's an extreme example.
Yeah. But Ken, you've always said this, and I agree with you too, when we brought up this air quotes zero tolerance policy that never existed. The Ravens, what's been different recently how they've operated is if some of their own guys get in trouble while they're on the roster, but they haven't brought in someone like this through the draft in a while. This was a change.
And look, I'm pretty sure if you go back and watch Howie Roseman at the Combine and Howie Roseman and his Liars Lunch, and people asked about players specifically without saying the names, you could tell they were talking about Pierce and Green. I'm pretty sure he said there's guys who are not on our board who are definitely on other people.
Yeah, Rappaport said that. And multiple teams. And
took them off.
Yeah. And
I'm not just saying generic teams or teams that don't know what they're doing. I'm talking about a team that's been to two of the last three Super Bowls and won one. So, yes, Kansas City, they don't care. And this very much is starting to feel like that Kansas City sort of ethos. Now, Kansas City's won a whole bunch of hardware. Haven't won a championship game around here in a long time, let alone a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't want to derail this whole thing. I'm sort of torn on the Mike Green of it all, and I see it a little differently than the Tucker of it all. But, like, he's a 21-year-old kid. His story and talking to people on Saturday, and I'm not talking about Ravens people, but talking to people that have sort of dug into this, it's a murky situation. Yeah. And I feel like deserves is the wrong word, but like his story isn't written yet and we're gonna see what he turns into, but I feel like second chances,
whatever they investigated and whatever they think they investigated, these matters at their heart very much come down to two people, and there are not that many others who witnessed it, who were there. So you are inherently, what they're willing to do is, they are now they're welcoming the criticism. They're welcoming you coming in, telling them their way's wrong, and they think they know better. And maybe this kid will walk a straight path, and it'll be something that doesn't get mentioned that much anymore. Like, I can't predict that stuff. Joe Mixon, a lot of people don't talk about the incident in the fast food place with Joe Mixon much anymore.
And there's video of
it
that.
It dominated that draft cycle. So you're right. The story is unwritten, but when you reach a certain point where your football evaluation is like, hey, it's now worth it, right? Like, it wasn't worth it in the first. Now, at this pick, 50-whatever, it became worth it for them, despite their very spotted history with these issues, to welcome that renewed criticism into how they evaluate not just football players, but people.
I also think, and I feel like I'm going to set you off with this, Jason, but I think after you made that pick, I think the owner needs to talk. I think the owner has to.
Absolutely.
I think the owner needs to talk. Like
the owners needed to talk for a long time.
But especially after you take
this guy.
But
after the kicker.
Yeah. Well,
after the kicker. And the team, remember, the team issued out the statement saying, yeah, the zero tolerance thing, that's not a thing. It's never been a thing.
A team president who wasn't here when all that went down put out a statement saying, yeah, none of that was really real.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard. The owner hasn't taken questions from an open gathering of the media, not select people on his turf at an owner's meeting on the clock. He hasn't sat down in a press conference setting. I don't even know how many years. Mm-mm. Five, six?
I also think the quote from John Harbaugh following the Deshaun Watson
Well, it's obvious for whatever it's worth.
It didn't exist.
He went rogue, but now he won't back
Did
off
he?
Of it.
Exactly.
I think based on who I've talked to, he went rogue, but he won't back off of it.
Well,
like he's not going to walk it back.
$15 million a year to take a lot of bullets, and he's never going to say, oh, no, we all sat around drinking scotch and smoking cigars in Miami and agreed, or wherever, on the guy's yacht, and we all agreed, never again, and then I uttered it out loud, and so now you want to act like I went rogue, you can do it. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, well.
They had no problem basking themselves in that. Until they started violating it left and right, and then we're left to piece together.
We have a big Monday show. The draft is in the books. The Orioles had quite a weekend in Detroit, and they take on the Yankees tonight. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 5:30 tonight. Bob Haney and who is it?
Jim Hunter.
Jim Hunter at 5:30 live from Pickles. Guess-wise, Steelers are getting very high marks for their draft. We'll talk to Brooke Pryor. She covers the Steelers for ESPN at 3 o'clock. Jonas Schaefer, he was at the Castle all weekend covering the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. We'll get his thoughts on the Ravens draft at 4. And Cordell Woodland, our own Ravens and Orioles beat guy, he joins us at 5.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Orioles had a debacle weekend. I thought it would happen. We sat here early last week. I said, look at the schedule. I'm not sure they're going to win more than one game against the Nats, the Tigers, and the Yankees. And if that's the case, and they've got an off day looming on Thursday, and they're sitting there with a record around 10-20, I think the skipper gets whacked. This team is lifeless. This team is horrible hitting the ball, catching the ball, and pitching the ball. They play uninspired baseball. I believe it stems from their dispassionate, holier-than-thou general manager. And the product has been garbage since they left the Bronx, thinking they'd won the World Series June 20th with a 17-5 victory over Luis Hill. It's pretty disgraceful across the board. And it's kind of interesting. The skipper was telling y'all you needed to know after they survived with one win against the Nats, which was... I don't even want to think about the Tigers. Nah. They're so much better than us right now. I don't even want to think about the pitching we're facing there. We can't hit these mooks with the Nats. You think we're going to go to Detroit and do anything against those guys? And Jackson Jobe didn't even pitch in the series.
Nah.
And they still got completely shut down. Blow it up.
Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens, and we focus on day two. Ravens take Mike Green and Emory Jones. What do we think of the Ravens Friday night? We'll discuss.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next here on The Fan.
I would say that we investigated this situation very thoroughly. I think we have the best scouts in the NFL. We've got great scouts that go into Virginia. They go into Marshall. We've got people that work for us investigating different incidents with players all the time. And we felt comfortable taking him. We think he's a talented player. We understand the severity of what these allegations were, of course. But doing our due diligence, we are comfortable with Mike. I personally spent an hour and a half with him in my office, and I think the best is yet to come with him, and I'm glad we got him.
That's Eric DaCosta Friday night talking about the selection of Mike Green in the second round. Eric used that word comfortable a few times talking about that. Now, they allegedly considered taking him in the first round, but they were not comfortable taking him in the first round. But yeah. When he sat there at 59... The juice
then
was
that's
very,
when they got comfortable.
Yeah, the juice very much got worth the squeeze. A kid who, on football alone, was considered by many people a top 20 talent goes to 59.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty highly of our lad's scouting service. They had him basically the number four edge for them in the draft. I didn't think he'd be there when they picked. I thought somebody else would say the juice worth the squeeze in the teens, and maybe he'd go before one of the Georgia pass rushers. That ended up obviously not happening. And let's face it, that was because other teams factored in his two sets of very serious allegations against him and decided that, because like if it's just pure pass rush, because this isn't Owe, this isn't a guy who couldn't beat right tackles in the Big Ten and had no moves. And
this guy dominated.
He'd only
Ohio
played football
State
for a couple years, and we got to figure him out. Like this, remember the one time Owe like got his pad level really low and flipped his hips and got down and had a dip move, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And that was in like year four. Like this kid comes in with that. So like those kids don't fall to almost pick 60 because of anything other than not everybody was as comfortable with him as EDC, and I get it. It's the pros. It's all about production and winning. But like, don't act like 90 minutes. Like you got somebody figured out in 90 minutes. You know what I mean? Like that part of it. Like have we not as a franchise figured out that like you had Ray Rice in your building forever, and you never thought he was capable of doing what he's doing. And as someone who covered, I never thought he was capable. But like the idea that he sat in my office for 90 minutes, and I know him.
Justin
like,
Tucker.
What the hell does that mean? Like that part of it. Like let's be a little smarter than that. Okay. We're never going to know everything that happened between him on multiple occasions and women who have accused him of doing some pretty heinous stuff. We're just not going to know. And whether you as a fan are comfortable with that, I'm not going to tell you what to be. That's everybody's individual decision. They as an organization from Bisciotti on down are comfortable with it. But what I think this pick does is like, he kind of has to be a thing right away, right?
Yes.
This is the opposite of Ajabo. This is the opposite of Owe. Like, you went and did this when How many teams passed on him multiple times, right?
Yes.
How many teams that need pass rush passed on him multiple times?
Twice, yeah. Probably passed him two times.
I know a team that went back into the first round to get a different troubled or whatever you want to term you want to use, pass rusher, than him. So, like, it's like he's kind of got to play, and he's got to kind of need not only, like, move the needle on the field. He's kind of got to be a choir boy off the field, like, from day one.
But for what it's worth, he's never been charged, and he did openly discuss this at the combine for teams. Some teams were not happy with his explanation. Others were.
That's what Rappaport said immediately following the pick, saying several teams had him off their board. Several teams didn't like what they heard in the interview process, much different than what Eric DaCosta said. But I think you're 100% right, Jason. He's got to be a choir boy off the field. He's got to make an immediate impact. And quite frankly, with how this roster is set up right now, he has the opportunity to, because this team is in big need of juice at the edge rush position. And they're going to look to him and Chuck Smith. And if you're looking at this from just a football perspective, him leading the country in sacks last year, his ability to set the edge, and Chuck Smith working with him. But yeah, he's got to be a choir boy.
Your point about the player and the tape, go look at his game against Ohio State last year. And he's great setting the edge. I'm talking purely football for a second. He's not only a pure pass rusher, he sets the edge. He's great against the run as well. And you saw it when they played Ohio State, the team that eventually won the national championship last year. He was making splash plays left and right against Ohio State.
Here's a blurb from the Our Lads write-up. A game wrecker. He was regularly chipped and double teamed on pass plays. Above average snap quickness, but his speed, bend, and flex around the arc are truly elite. He's explosive coming out of his stance. Speed to power in pass rush is impressive, with low pad level to drive linemen into the backfield. His pass rush repertoire includes a bull rush into a move, arm over and under, spin, hand swipes, a cross chop, flashes an out-to-in move to counter oversets, fluid hips with seamless change of direction. Adafe Owe, that is not.
No. Now, this guy's a
different level.
At least what we've seen, he's a pass rush freak.
Yeah. Now, they're collectively going to have to incubate him the right way and you know, babysit him the right way and develop him the right way. And we'll see. You said it best. His story is far from written, but it's now their story.
Yes.
It's Bisciotti's story. It's DaCosta's story. It's Sashi Brown's story. It's their story collectively with how this goes.
Quickly, they took another guy in the third round on Friday night. Your thoughts on Emory Jones, who looks like a guy that is maybe a swing tackle for them?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I just asking a few people about him over the weekend, like footwork is the thing you hear the most. Like he's a tactician with his feet. And if you have that building block and you coach somebody up the right way and you put him on a decent line and you have a quarterback as generational as Lamar Jackson and sort of keeping things alive, then yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Is he their future right tackle when eventually maybe Rosengarten moves to left? This kid also people think could play inside a little bit.
Yes.
So how they divide up his sort of pie chart of snaps this summer will be interesting.
No, I was happy to see him get him. I've been banging that drum for weeks now, talking about getting an offensive lineman in day two of the draft, and that's exactly what they did. Someone that gives them flexibility where maybe he can project inside to guard. Maybe he competes with Voorhees when it's all said and done this upcoming year. But the ability to play guard and tackle, that's a value that they don't have really from a lot of guys after McCary left.
They checked every box except for the defensive tackle box. They even got like this, and we'll get to it a little bit later, but the linebacker in the fourth round,
yes,
athletic kid, they went and got a project tackle from Alabama A&M. They took a late guard. They got the punt returner. They got the kicker. Everything but defensive tackle they checked.
Yeah, I mean,
the two corners.
We won't know for a while.
Yes.
But this felt like the kind of draft we thought they would have.
Coming up next, we get to the Orioles, and are we about to witness Brandon Hyde's last stand at Oriole Park at Camden Yards? Things are getting dire. How dire, we'll explain next here on The Fan.
We had three guys hurt today, and We're not playing the best baseball right now, and we're walking too many guys on the mound. It's been rough. That's three good players that you don't have in the lineup, but injuries do happen, and you know, we faced a really good starter today. It's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and top two or three, if not number one. So I thought we created some traffic against them, just didn't get a big hit. Really difficult team to play. You know, it's a really, really talented team. It's the best pitching staff we've seen so far. We missed Job, and there's two, so... Tough team to score against and really balanced offensively. You know, we saw that a couple times last September and we played a lot of close games against them. We're going through a tough time right now and hopefully we can get out of this and start playing better baseball.
Can't hit, can't pitch, can't win. Orioles lost last Sunday to the Reds 24-2. We thought that was rock bottom. They've won one game since, beating the Nationals 2-1. Get swept in Detroit this weekend. They didn't play Friday night because of rain, and then they get swept in the doubleheader, and then lose yesterday to Tarek Skubal 7-0. They've lost six of the last seven. They have the third worst record in all of baseball, and now the Yankees come to town.
Yeah, they've got a minus 39 run differential. They've been utterly non-competitive in more games than not. And so, look, I want to take us back in time. And Sharky and I in the Bronx, sitting five rows from the field, watching them pound Luis Hill on a beautiful June businessman special at Yankee Stadium. And Austin Hayes hitting home runs and Austin Hayes throwing balls to Mateo. And
Austin Hayes having a nice year.
It was something. And they won 17-5. And their record was 49-25. And they were tied with the Yankees for the best winning percentage in Major League Baseball. Better winning percentage than the Dodgers at that time. And I said, guys, I'm really worried that this is as good as it's going to get, because I think this group thinks they've made it, and I think this GM thinks they've made it. And if they don't get real about their warts and how young they are and what they still need, and they're not going to hit this many home runs forever, and the quality of their at-bats still by and large gives me pause, and boy, they don't get on base that ton, and the walk rate's not great. And I was seriously concerned that they thought they won their World Series. Well, they've played 115 ball games since then. It's almost three quarters of a season, basically. 115 ball games since June 20th of last year. Only the Pirates, Marlins, Nationals, Angels, Rockies, and White Sox have less wins than the Baltimore Orioles since June 20th last year. Guys, we're talking 52-63. The Orioles at home, including the playoffs since last June 20th, are 24-31. That's a 436 winning percentage. In the regular season since then, only the Rockies, Marlins, and White Sox, the absolute dregs of MLB, only they have a worse home winning percentage than the Orioles since June 20th of last year. They let Santander and his 44 home runs go, right? Didn't want to break his fall. They've got it figured out. They've got these kids. These kids will get it done. Since last June 20th, only the White Sox and the Rays have a lower OPS with runners in scoring position. The Orioles have 1,010 plate appearances since then with runners in scoring position, and they've got a 664 OPS. Since June 20th of last year, only the White Sox, Rays, Rockies, Guardians, and Angels have had games producing three runs or fewer on more occasions. The Orioles are 7-49 when they score three runs or less since last June 20th. I'm going to repeat that. 7-49. That's a 125 winning percentage. Only the White Sox, Nats, and Twins. Are you seeing the teams that they're clumped with here? Only the White Sox, Nats, and Twins are worse. Also, the Orioles have a 312 on-base percentage since last June 20th. That is 16th in baseball. Since the start of 2023, the Orioles are 19th in on-base percentage. That includes all the good stuff from 23 and the first 75 games from last year. They are still just 19th in on-base percentage since the start of 2023. If you think help's coming from within, I'm just going to let you know. Adley Rutschman has 34 RBIs in 103 games since June 20th of last year. I'm going to repeat that. He has 34 runs driven in 103 games since June 20th last year. If you want to look at their leaders in OPS since June 20th last year, Sed, 861. Tony Taters, 821. James McCann, 804. What do two of those three have in common?
Not here.
Yeah. Yeah. Gunner, 795. The Razor, 773. Adley's got a 620 OPS since June 20th of last year. Jackson Holliday, 658. Jordan Westberg, 686. Another scary thing. They're home run reliant, right? These are their home run leaders since June 20th of last year. Taters has 25. Sed has 17. Gunner has 17. Kalzer has 16. Westberg has 11. Next comes O'Hearn, 10 home runs in 103 games. Then comes Adley, 9 home runs in 103 games. The Razor, 8 home runs in 78 games. Heston, 7 home runs in 56 games. If they're home run reliant, where are the home runs coming from? Oh, yeah, since June 20th of last season, the Baltimore Orioles team ERA is 4.81. Gentlemen, that's in 1,005 and two-thirds innings pitched. No small sample size. Mm-mm. The only teams with a worse ERA than the Orioles since June 20th of last year are the Marlins at 4.94 and the Rockies at 5.35.
Awful teams.
They're 8-13 since June 20th, including the playoffs, when there's 30,000 people or more in the stands. So big crowds don't bring out the best in them. They're fifth fewest stolen bases in the majors since June 20th of last year. Guess who's the worst catcher throwing runners out stealing since that span?
Adley.
Yeah. 91.3% success rate against Adley this season. Worse in baseball. You want to look at defense? Outs above average since the start of last season. Fangraphs has them 23rd out of 30 major league teams.
You want to have some fun, go back in time a little bit? Here is Jason from the scorching hot pavement at the Oarsman dealership off Security Boulevard the day after beating the Yankees 17-5.
And I'll just say this to Mike Elias or anybody who might be listening from Houston on the traveling party. You need to reward the effort and grit and tenacity and intensity and maturity of this group and give them what they don't have. They will maximize their effort for you, but they can't do it all as presently constructed. Injuries happen. People get tired. People get worn out. You need to win the trade deadline the way they're playing their asses off and winning games for you. That's your mandate. No pussyfooting around. You approach the deadline
he was
with
happy
the
for
energy and tenacity that they are
long,
playing yeah. baseball with. You owe it to them, and you owe it to their fans. Wow. Don't F it up again. Reward them. This isn't perfect. It can't be perfect. Make it as perfect as possible.
205.
Come on, you were just at a game where they won.
And there you have it. And you were absolutely right. He was also, he didn't get a snowball that day. That's.
I thought that we all got snowballs.
No, they ran out of his flavor. That's
oh,
what. Yeah, yeah.
Man, well, that made him upset too. No, it's been jarring to see the collapse since that point. And a question that we've kind of been bringing up over the past week: you asked Tony Gwynn Jr., does this necessitate some sort of change, manager, whatever? We put out a poll, Twitter poll of the day, sponsored by Tee Time Golf Pass. Check out exclusive Tee Time deals at your favorite courses at Tee Time Golf Pass. .com. Orioles are 52-63 in their last 115 since taking 3 of 4 in the Bronx. Only Pittsburgh, Miami, Washington, the Angels, Colorado, Chicago White Sox have a worse records. Only Colorado and Miami have worse winning percentages at home. O's can't hit, pitch, or field, have third fewest wins in 2025. What should happen? Birdland, over 200 votes in. IE1057 The Fan is how you can vote on this poll, every poll. Fire Elias and Hyde, 52.4%. Just fire Hyde, 26.7%. Do nothing, 11%.
Nice.
Just fire Elias, 10.
People have turned. You should, and I know, Jason, you don't look at mentions or anything. I don't know how much you do reading, like if you type in Orioles. Fan base is pissed. Fan base is finally, and I think they were late to the party.
And the owner's got his head in the clouds, yes. Like I told you. The owner's bamboozled by the GM, like I told you. The owner's too busy squirting people with water guns or throwing hats at their face with some let them eat cake BS than actually realizing that he bought a hornet's nest. He didn't buy some well-oiled machine that was ready to go. He bought a Ponzi scheme that was starting to fracture.
Coming up next, we look back at the weekend that was. Orioles get swept by the Tigers. Was there anything to like this weekend? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. Orioles and Yankees tonight, first of three at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. They're coming off a three-game sweep at the end of the hands of the Tigers. Remember, Friday night got rained out, so they got swept in a doubleheader on Saturday and then got shut out by Tarek Skubal on Sunday. What do I start with? How about the hitting?
The 6-for-60 runners in scoring position over the last week or so?
The crazy thing was they were actually getting some hits over the weekend and actually dating back to the National Series, but they can't drive any runs in, Jason.
Well, I mean, they let their best run producer go to Toronto for pennies on the dollar. I guess that's the Canadian exchange rate. And I don't want to hear about what he's doing in Toronto, trying to make new friends and trying to get acclimated. Like, we know he was a little different cat. Like, he lived with his parents. Like, this idea that, oh, well, he wouldn't have done it here. No, he'd have been Tony Taters here. Slow start, maybe because of the weather, whatever. But he wouldn't be batting 1-7. Like, that
he has
there's
a
whole adjustment period. But it's different. He's a new country.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot going on. So that's part of it. I told you guys O'Neill's a garbage baseball player, and he gets hurt all the time. So he's there's hurt. That. I didn't say he's a garbage hitter, but he's been garbage against lefties. No two ways about that. Gary Sanchez is maybe the most useless baseball player in the major leagues right now. Certainly the most useless baseball player making more than the league minimum. Like, I don't know what he does. They don't hit with people on base. They're striking out a lot and they're walking a ton of people. Dude, here's the reality. They got embarrassed by the Reds and they're one run win over Trevor Williams away from not having one since what from last Saturday.
Well,
right. I mean, they beat Trevor. Was it 2-1? Am I remembering that correctly?
Beat the Nationals 2-1.
That's their only win.
Yes.
Since before Easter, before the Easter massacre.
Yeah. They beat the Reds Saturday 9-5.
Hey. Right. So that they've got one cling to it by their chinny chin chin win in going on 10 days.
They were behind the whole series. They led for half of an inning when they took a 1-0 lead in the second game of the doubleheader, and then Charlie Morton gives up a 3-run home run to Riley Green. That was it.
The Tigers scored more runs in an inning than they scored the whole series.
They led for half an inning, and they've fallen behind first in 7 of their last 8 games.
By the way, Charlie Morton bulk relief looked like Charlie Morton starter. They went with the opener,
dude,
Keegan Aiken.
Like, they bet $15 million for a team that's their third highest paid player. So think about this team right now. Highest paid player, Eflin, was an injury concern when they traded for him. Went to the IL shortly after they traded for him. Hurt. Tyler O'Neill, 15 stints on the IL. If you watched him play baseball last year, he can't move laterally. He doesn't know how to read balls. He throws to the wrong base. He doesn't hit the cutoff man, and he's garbage on the base pass. Let's give him $17 million. He's hurt because he's always hurt. And then you've got Charlie Morton, $15 million, who they're talking about. Maybe he could give us the fourth and fifth innings in games we're already getting our face beat in. Like, that's where we are, man. That's where we are, and we're not even 30 games in. And if you think Kyle Gibson, the cavalry's coming, I told you. He's here. I saw him pitch in Aberdeen last weekend. It's going to be rough.
He's on the taxi squad.
I know.
He's here.
They're going to throw him. Yeah, because they'd rather do that than anything else and just hope and pray that this makes them look a little bit smart. And at this point, what's the difference?
That ship has sailed.
At this point, at this point, what's the difference? Look, this is not about, it never was about you as the fan or us as the analyst or the media or the evaluator. It's always been about them, their plan, and can they keep ownership sold on it? And now more than ever, they're playing for an audience of one, and that's Uncle Ruby. And if they could sell him that, hey, Kyle Gibson's good, like, they will do anything. You see, they're making waiver claims left and right. Wolfram's here. Wolfram's gone. Like, it's 2018 all over again, except now the stakes are real. Now the standings matter. But that's what we're doing. That's the roster gymnastics that we've reached because of the Frankenstein team that they built that has no discernible strength. What is the strength of this baseball team?
They don't have one. They don't have one. The bullpen, I guess.
Really?
They got a closer who can't pitch consecutive days and can't pitch more than 3 days a week.
I'm grasping at straws.
You going to steal some? You want to have a conversation about Soto?
He's okay.
Yeah. So they have no strength. So let me ask you this.
How about the fact they chose Cino Perez over Danny Coulomb?
Yeah,
Danny
looks great. Yeah. Looks great. Yeah, yeah. Looks great. Soto and Perez over Coulomb from the left side. That makes sense.
The money is similar with Perez and Coulomb.
Yeah, it looks great. Except they weren't going to pay them both, and Soto's their boy, and they gave up. They gave up real stuff for Soto, so they're going to pay him.
But I'm talking about the Perez Coulomb. The money's similar.
Yeah. So if I were to guarantee you that, like, look, these next three games, they're all going to be lopsided losses to the Yankees. They're going to lose all these games by five runs or more. But on Thursday, Hyde and Elias are fired. Would you sign up for it? You guys know my answer. I would, I would want to do the show from the front of the of Oriole Park while Elias is being marched out of the building.
Is he really going to get marched out?
I'd want to do it from the parking lot. That's usually how it's done.
I still just don't see a clean sweep. I would be very surprised.
I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's been a colossal. Yeah. Like, it's embarrassing. Some of the shill national media guys are calling out the embarrassment that has been the Orioles.
Dude, they're an abject failure.
Yeah. Like, they went with pitchers that everybody knew were going to be bad, and they're worse.
Take that out of it. Are you sure the shortstop's a shortstop? Are you sure these are 1-1s? Are you sure the second baseman's a second baseman? Are you sure the catcher isn't one of the worst defensive catchers in Major League Baseball? Are you positive the third baseman's a third baseman? We know the left fielder's not a left fielder, and they don't have a right fielder. That's your baseball team.
Yeah. Other than that, how was the play?
If you could have Corbin Carroll or Adley Rutschman, who would you take right now?
Could I? If what?
Corbin Carroll or Adley Rutschman?
Oh, I'd take Corbin Carroll.
Riley Green or Adley Rutschman?
Probably Riley Green.
I'm just going C.J. Abrams or Adley Rutschman.
Oh, that's an iffy one.
I would take C.J. Abrams.
I know, but we know where you are.
Bobby Witt, that one, enough said. I'm just saying, get him out of town.
Coming up next.
Bye-bye.
The Steelers, most of the pundits feel like they had a great draft this weekend. What did Brooke Pryor think? She covers the Steelers for ESPN. She joins us next here on The Fan.